Thank you, Lord. I have something from the Lord concerning the receiving of our offering tonight. So if you would, open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel in chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And you're going to like this. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to like this. Amen. And Friday is Faith for Finances Day. It's in Faith for Increase Day. Praise God. Amen. And is that... Oh, well, yeah, thank you, Lord. Like I said this morning, I just work here, you understand? And the Lord dropped something else in my spirit, and you're going to have to help me put that together. I know you will. Glory to God. Luke chapter 5, let's go there first. Verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, upon Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now, mark that word nets. They were washing their nets, plural. And make sure you make some kind of mark there, because we want to reference it as we go along. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Now, get the picture. Simon is over there with the rest of these guys, and they're washing those old big heavy nets, and that's hard work, man, washing those things. And Jesus just makes himself at home and just goes over there and sits down in his boat. And then turns around and said, hey, come here. Well, Peter knew who he was. I mean, he just got through healing his mother-in-law of a dangerous fever just hours before. Yes. And he turns, he said, push me out here a little bit. Amen. And so Peter did. And went back to what he was doing. He's washing his nets. All right. Now, Jesus has asked this man for something that belongs to him, for his use and ministry. Amen. That's important. Now take hold of that. We know that Peter is not doing all that well financially, not at this point, because we know he's going to tell him in a minute he worked all night long, didn't catch anything. So at least he's a day behind, if not more. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft, for a draw, for a catch. Now I want you to notice nets, they're washing their nets. Let down your nets. Are you following me here now? Now I want you to notice what happened here. Peter has just received direction from Jesus. He's just received instruction on what to do, how to do it, and we already know what's going to happen, but Peter didn't. He has a he has directions from God. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. And I only do what I see my Father do. So God has instructed Jesus what to say to Peter. And Jesus said that to Peter. And it is divine instruction for a harvest on return for using that boat. He has instruction here on how to receive a financial harvest. Now, if Peter had just been totally unaware, had no idea who Jesus was, none of them knew he's the Son of God. But he knew there's something really special about him because they had gathered up around Peter's home after Peter healed his, after Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And he cast out devils and healed the sick. And so he wasn't totally strange to who this man was. He just didn't understand, you know, how he's doing all this because he Peter just got here. You understand? Yes, he just got into all this. Yeah. But now Jesus, I never noticed that. Thank you. he had use of the man's home. Amen. Yeah. And now he's had use of the man's fishing boat. And so he's returning. He always does that. He always does that. If he asks you to do anything, there's a harvest on the other side of it. Amen. You understand? Yes. But there's a lot of people praying, oh, God, help me financially. I've got to have a harvest here. Something has to happen. Help me, please. I need instruction here. I need help. I need to know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I'm praying for the wisdom of God. And you even go to the scripture and find out and believe by faith and you get the instruction. Are you with me now? You stay with me. And Simon Peter answering said unto him, Rabbi, we have toiled all the night. Well, you guess Jesus didn't know that. Well, anyway, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Jesus said, nets. They were washing their nets. And he's not about to go get all of those nets and go fishing with a preacher that don't know nothing about fishing. Now you see what he did to his instructions there? And Jesus didn't just jump on him and say, now wait a minute, Peter. Now wait a minute. No, that's not what I said. And he won't do that to you either. The Holy Spirit is the perfect gentleman. And he walks in perfect love. And he will allow you to make your own decisions. Now, Peter had every right to say, sir, did I hear you right? Let go get all of my nets and do all this. Well, Jesus would have answered him, of course. But no, he makes up his own mind. Of course, you've never done this. I never have. Are you kidding me? Oh, certainly I've done this, and you have too. What kicked in here? Jesus is speaking to him in the faith realm. Peter is thinking like a fisherman businessman, and he's tired. He's worked all night long. He's washing these nets. He does not want to have to wash them again. His wife is waiting breakfast on him, and the preacher wants to go fishing in the middle of the day, and you can't catch nothing on this lake in the middle of the day, and I know that, and he doesn't. But at your word, or in other words, but just because you said to, I let down the net. I want to point out something to you. This is the only net, the only one that day, and the only one thereafter in every supernatural account of that of big heavy fish caught because they obeyed Jesus. It's the only one that ever broke. And they got such a load, the last time in the book of John, they got such a load they couldn't move it. But the net didn't break. Does that tell you something? The net was rotten. It was an old throwaway net. After all, what's this preacher going to know about it anyway? You can go out there and throw the thing, ain't nothing going to hit it. But I don't want to rewash all these nets. Now stay with me because I'm going to show you something. And I told you, you're going to like it. Amen. Now, I will let down the net. I want you to turn with me to the book of Malachi. Last book in the Old Covenant. The book of Malachi, and let's look at the first chapter, verse 6. Now, remember this. Peter's a Jew. And do you remember when God gave him that vision and let down that sheet with all those animals in there and said, kill and eat, Peter? He said, not so, Lord. He said, nothing unclean has ever crossed my lips. This man's serious about the law, and he knows. Excuse me. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's my honor? If I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised your name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor and see how he likes it. Will he be pleased with you or accept your person, saith the Lord of hosts? I want to read that again. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? This is the basis of a dishonorable sacrifice. He said, you don't honor me. Now let's go back over there where we were in Luke chapter 5. We've toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. In other words, get your nets and get out here. Amen. But Peter's nets are still on the shore. I'm telling you, this is a big thing now. Now notice this. Watch for it. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came, filled both ships so that they began to sink. Nobody's net broke. Isn't that amazing? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. He couldn't fall down at his feet. He's knee deep in fish. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man." He knew what he did. Do you see? He knew what he did. And notice now what happened here. "I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draw, the catch of fishes which they had taken. He was so astonished because he didn't think they were going to catch anything. And it shocked him. He dishonored this rabbi that healed his mother-in-law, and he knew it. Now, what's the point here? And what do we need to be catching from this? When you get instructions, you're praying and seeking God, and you're following the word. Any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all men and upbraideth not. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the sea blown back and forth by the wind. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. But now you've gone to the word, and you have by faith asked for the wisdom of God. I have to have a breakthrough here. I'm looking for the harvest of my seed here, and I'm a tither, Lord, and it's hung up somewhere. I need to know what to do. And you stay before the Lord, and you're praying in the Spirit, and he gives you instructions. And you start monkeying with it. You know what I mean by that statement? You kind of alter it a little bit because, that other, I don't know about that. Amen. When Jesus said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," he did and came again seeing. Would he have come again seeing? Now, he didn't go to the pool of Siloam by himself. The guy's blind. Somebody lead him over there. Amen. And what if whomever's leading him over there said, that's Siloam pool. that thing a long ways down there. Here's Mr. Dingbat's pool. Why can't we? And actually, I've been down at that pool of Siloam. You can't see, so you don't know. That thing is nasty. If I was you, I would put my face in that nasty thing, Siloam pool. Let's wash here in Mr. Doodad's pool. That'll be all right, won't it? Would he have gotten his sight? No, because of the disobedience in it. Well, then why did Jesus say the pool of Siloam? I don't know. Ask him. Amen. You want me to tell you? For additional CDs. No, I'll tell you. Because that's what he heard the Father say. Amen. Now, the important thing is the obedience to the command. He, John 14:21, turn there. Let's put our eyes on that. These are major miracles, wouldn't you say? Would you say that these are exploits? Oh, absolutely. These are exploits of ministry, right? Now look in John 14:21. "He that hath my commandments," that's not referring to the Ten Commandments. That's referring to whatever he tells you to do. Go to the pool of Siloam. Throw the nets, not just the net. Throw it on that side of the boat. Or whatever it is he tells you to do. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, He it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Well, I love Jesus. Really? Then why didn't you do what he told you to do? Because my wife just throwed a fit. That's why I didn't do it. I tried to keep peace in the house. It didn't work either, did it? Now, she's just as ugly as she ever was, and you missed what God told you to do. Now, you see, I can say that because I really don't know your wife, but... Well, I'd have you know I love God just as much as anybody else. Not if you don't do what he says. Now, there's people everywhere praying, crying, squalling, bawling, kicking the back of the pew, anything else they can do, fast for 15 days, trying to get Jesus to manifest himself. When all the time, right there is all you had to do. He didn't say, I'll manifest myself to the one that prays the loudest and the longest. No. The one that'll do what I tell him to do. Amen. Amen. Don't try to change it up and put the net over on the other side of the boat. Well, you know, I've been throwing it over there every day for a weekend, caught anything. Well, throw it over there again, dumb. Or forgive me. I don't know. Maybe there's something about this group. No. Oh, glory to God. Now then, let's go back over there now to Luke 5 once more. One more thing, and then I'll do what the Lord said to me there just a moment ago. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the catch, the draw of the fishes which they had taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not. Can't you just see Jesus? You notice he didn't just jump on him and chew him out for disobeying. He didn't have to. The fish did that. He's at Jesus' knees and the little fishes are slapping him in the face, said, you didn't get any, you didn't get any. Biggest catch in the history of the Galilee. Every fish in the Galilee, every one of them, all the fish in the lake come up around his boat. Well, Brother Copeland, every fish, would you tell me which fish would say, no, Lord, you got enough already. I believe I'll wait until another. No, it was Peter that disobeyed, not the fish. They all came. Amen. Now, Jesus, you know, he's just standing there, and Peter just crying and, you know, get away from me. And Jesus just smiling at me and said, oh, come on, boy, don't worry about it. Yeah, you're going to do better than this. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. Isn't that rich? Isn't that just like him? That's just the way he is. Amen. All the time, that's the way he is. Now then, let's catch up on one other thing here. We'll go to the book of Matthew, and let's look in the 17th chapter of Matthew's gospel. Oh, I love the word of God. Amen. Verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was Jesus' hometown. He had a house there. In fact, he was at the house when this occurred. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and says, does not your master pay tribute? They're looking for property tax. He saith, yes, and when he was come into the house, see, that's Jesus' house. And Jesus was at home. And so they came to him and said, doesn't your boss pay taxes? So he's going to go home and ask if we pay taxes. And Jesus, now I want to back up here just a second. So I want you just, this is just a little side issue here, but I want you to see the ministry of the prophet here. Because the word of knowledge is just about to manifest. Now watch it. When he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, or Jesus said this before he could ask him that question. Amen. Word of knowledge just happened. Well, he's the Son of God. He knew everything. No, he didn't. He didn't know everything any more than you do. But he said, I can of myself do nothing. I only say what I hear my Father say. Amen. So he walked as a prophet under the Abrahamic covenant. Well, of course, he walked as an apostle. He walked as a prophet. He called himself a prophet. And he walked as an evangelist. He came to seek and save the lost. He walked as a pastor and teacher. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. He walked in all of those offices. Amen. But right here, the word of knowledge is manifest. And he said, Peter, what do you think? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom of tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said to him, of strangers. Jesus said to him, then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast in a hook, parentheses, no bait on it. They didn't say anything about bait. Cast in a hook, take up the first fish that comes up. That means there's going to be more fish. Take up the first one. When you open his mouth, you'll find a piece of money. Take and give unto them for me and thee. Pay your taxes and mine. Now, what did Peter do? Amen. Now, which one of the two situations sounds the most improbable, outlandish thing you ever heard? Cast your nets, or take a hook, throw it in the lake, and the first fish you catch is going to have money enough to pay your taxes and mine. And he didn't say a word. He just got his tackle box and headed to the lake. Why? He'd already been in this trap once before. He's not about to do it again. Amen. Can you see the point here? Boy, I'm telling you, he got obedient in a hurry, didn't he? He didn't, from that point on, he didn't care what they said or what Jesus said. He just got into it and did it. Amen. Now, I wanted you to see the contrast between the two. Now then, go to the 6th chapter of the book of Mark. And this is what the Lord said to me there just a few moments ago. Verse 35. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, you feed them. You give them to eat. And they said, what? Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He said unto them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. He commanded them to make all sit down by the company upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed, and broke. He blessed and broke. Now, what do you suppose he said when he blessed? Father, bless these little biscuits. Bless these little fish. Bless the baker that baked the biscuit and baked the and helped the fisherman that caught the fish. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Now, why does that sound so ridiculous? Because it is ridiculous. That's the reason it sounds that way. How do we know what he said? We know exactly what he said. Every time he said the same thing to Adam, he said the same thing to Noah, he said the same thing to Abraham. You remember what he said to Adam? Be fruitful. Listen to the second one. Multiply. We need some multiplying here. Amen. And it did. But now notice what happened. He blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. The miracle happened not only in their hands, but now notice, to set before them, and the two fishes divided he among them, and they did all eat and were filled. Now I want to ask you a question. What part in this did the people play? Huh? What?
Receiving of it.
You're close. See, I started reading that where everybody starts reading that, at the 25th verse. At the 35th verse. Let's read the 34th verse. Say it with me. Faith cometh,
by hearing,
and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion before them, or towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And faith came. Faith came. This didn't just happen on the faith of Jesus. The people were believing God. He taught them many things. Now, there's two things you need to see about this and understand about this. That word shepherd is the same word in Ephesians 4 translated pastor. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. The anointing, the ministry gift equipment on the pastor's ministry includes the anointing of increase. The shepherd is the increase anointing for the sheep. It's the shepherd that said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want."
Well, you know, Brother Copeland, now he said he'd meet our needs, but now you said he'd meet our wants.
I sure did. I said it. I'm guilty as I can be. I know the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my pastor, I shall not want. He leads me beside still water. Glory to God. It's His job to know where the still waters are. And when you're praying and asking Him, oh, God, help me. And He says, I want you to go over here because that's where the still waters are. And you go the other direction. Don't plan on getting anything. But if you'll listen, and pastors, if you'll teach the word of faith, and if you'll preach these things, it'll start happening in your church. Praise God. Amen. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Those people were ready. They heard many. It said many things. So I see a lot of time between the 34th verse and the 35th verse. And finally, it's getting dark. And they said, boss, we got to get out of here. It's late. They weren't paying as much attention as the people were.
Yes, sir.
Wonder why? If you read it and read the other accounts of it, you can see why.
Yeah.
They weren't paying attention to what he said. They stopped him while he was preaching in a healing meeting. They interrupted him. Come on, man. I mean, they went up and said, get out of the way. I need to talk to Jesus a minute here. I mean, this person is saying, what? This is wonderful. Yeah, I know. Well, boss, you need to cut this meeting off now. It's getting dark and it's dangerous out here. You understand? We're in a desert place. Oh, Jesus said, whoa. I didn't realize that. There's really something, there's something major here. Huge. Most, even at the very best, most of us do a lot of praying that's not praying at all. All your time you spent telling the Lord how you got laid off, all that time you spent telling the Lord how your business has gotten smaller instead of bigger, all that time you spent telling Him how your cousin broke his leg and how Aunt Minnie's gotten off one drug onto another, and all that, you did not inform Him of one thing. You just wasted a lot of time. Over here in this carnal realm, which was not prayer at all. But see, they got their eyes on that and they were not listening to what He was teaching to those people. Because when He said, where are we going to get food? He didn't ask them, Bill, He didn't say anything about money. He asked Philip, where are we going to get the food? Philip said, we ain't got the money, boss. Where are we going to get the money to feed all these people? See, he didn't even hear the question. How are you going to answer it when you don't even hear it?
Yeah, that's good.
That's right.
So what's happening? He's going down the wrong track. If he's going down the track he's on, there ain't nobody going to eat out here. Amen. Had he been listening to the shepherd, he'd have had faith enough in him to say, Lord, you know. I don't, but you know. You know. What do you want me to do? But they all trying to figure it out. I don't know. How are we going to do that? Amen. Hallelujah. So, the lesson to take from this, number one, inquire of the Lord. That's where you start. You don't start with what you think you need. Now, you go to Him and inquire and find out what the key issues are here in this situation that in which you have needs. I went to the Lord one time. I said, Lord, I pulled aside for this very reason. I, we were $1 million behind, and everything got out of phase, and you just get this bill paid, now that one's behind, and then you pay this one, now that one's behind, and it just kept doing that till it got up to $1 million. And you know, when you're on television, that don't take but about 20 minutes. I mean, man, that stuff is expensive. And so I just pulled out and went to our prayer cabin. I got before the Lord and I said, Lord, I need $1 million. And I'm praying and I'm praying in the spirit. Oh, God, I need $1 million. Tell me what to do. Tell me that I need a And I heard it just as plain. I said, Lord, I need $1 million. He said, no, you don't. I said out loud, well, you could have fooled me. He said, no. If I were to give you $1 million today, you would still have the spiritual problem in your ministry that got you $1 million behind to start with, and it would eat up that million, and you'd still be $1 million behind. And I thought, well, yeah, that's what I've been doing. I said, sir, I surrender. What do I do? He said, you inquire, you seek and pray. He said, you have a situation. He said, I told you some years ago, he said, it came up in your spirit and you touched it for a little bit and you just let it fleet away. He said, I told you to begin tithing the ministry. And Lord, I remember when that happened. It wasn't the word of the Lord. It was that inward witness, but it was very bright and it had that goodness about it, you know. And I thought, I thought, well, you know, I mean, it all belongs to him. I mean, and I just went on about my business and just forgot it. And I said, well, Lord, you know, and I repeated, I said, Lord, you know, I'm thinking here, all this is ministry money. Now I understand my personal life and my personal income and so forth. But I wasn't really thinking about the ministry money that comes into the ministry, because that's all yours in the first place. He said, may I ask you a question? I said, surely. He said, do government employees pay taxes? I said, yeah. He said, to whom do they pay their taxes? I said, to government. He said, well, it's the government money that they got paid with, wasn't it? I said, yeah, but he said, now they paid taxes on government money back to the government. I said, that's enough. I got it. Glory to God. Yeah, I got it. Hallelujah. I got it. Well, that's when we started this, the twice sown seed ministry. And I'm telling you that $1 million problem melted like a snowball on an August sidewalk, brother. I mean, it just evaporated. Why? I was obeying now what he told me back there months, well, actually a couple of years before. And I just let it just slip, let it drift away. Now, here's a thing for you to take hold of. Make sure there's not any of those kind of things in your financial life or in the area of your health or healing. Inquire of the Lord. Say, Lord, if the things like that I've let slip, don't you remember what it says in the third and fourth chapters of the book of Hebrews? Lest we let a promise slip. You can get busy and just forget you even learned that. I remember one time I said, Lord, why is it I'm missing it on my healing here? And after a little while, the scripture came to me about being redeemed from the curse of the law. And I said, oh, well, certainly. I mean, I got healed on that about 5 years ago. And I thought, but I let it slip. I forgot about the revelation that he gave me that got me healed 5 years before. And I let it slip. I forgot it.
I just forgot it. Well, I'm no dumber than you are. You let things slip. You get too busy in the natural realm. Amen.
Well, it didn't take, but a second to rearrange that. Repent, get back on it, and of course I got my healing. So inquire of the Lord. I've learned over the years to go back and say, Lord, now help me here. Is there anything I've let slip here? Is there anything that I need correcting on? I'm yours to command, sir. I'll tell you what, I've come to enjoy correction. Amen. I love it, brother. Glory. It'll get you out of more messes than you can imagine. Because if you don't get corrected, you're just going to keep headed in the same place. And the mud's going to just keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And finally, you're in bad trouble and crying out to God. It's always harder to believe your way out than it is to correct it as you go. Amen. Well, did you get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for it. Now, Father, we pray over this evening's offering. And all of this offering is coming into Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Canada. And Father, we give you praise for it and we thank you for it. And we receive this, the budget of these meetings and all of the needs of the Canadian ministry and its outreach and all of the areas and territories over which it is ministering. And we thank you for it. Every financial need of the Canadian KCM, we receive it done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, sir. And we praise you for it. I'm asking you now to reveal to the people what you would have them do in this offering tonight. And we release the anointing of increase on it. And we stand with them by faith for what you said, Jesus. Anyone that gives for my sake and the gospel shall receive in this time, in this life, 100-fold. And in the world to come, eternal life. And so we stand on that with our partners. We stand on in behalf of those that are sowing into this offering tonight. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.